Good evening, everyone. This is Lou Caverly. And I have bad news that some of you are aware of, that my dear wife and colleague on this broadcast, Phoebe Elizabeth, passed away 2 weeks ago as I record this on Sunday, February 16th. She had gone into the hospital with weakness. I finally had to call the ambulance, but I never expected her to pass away this quickly. It all happened quickly, but let me give you a little tribute for her first. First of all, I should mention that on the air, we always use the name Elizabeth, and I used Lou, short for Luther, which is my middle name and her middle name. But our real first names were Phoebe and James. So if I lapse sometimes into calling her Phoebe, you'll know why. Now, how did we meet? Let's begin with that, a little background information. Before we get to the main topics of tonight, I want to just kind of, as I said, give a little tribute to Phoebe Elizabeth. She grew up in, I guess what you would call the mountains of Pennsylvania, the Alleghenies, beautiful country. And when she got out of college, she attended Juniata College in Huntington, Pennsylvania, not too far from her home. And when she got out of college, she went to West Virginia University to go to graduate school. And she always told the story that she was very happy with what's called an assistantship, in other words, a scholarship where you help out teaching the younger students. And she did that for a couple of years. And then one of the professors convinced her to go to a different department. Unfortunately, the money fell through, and so that was no longer possible, and she just didn't have the money to keep on going, paying her own expenses. But she did get her master's degree there in reading, and she had degrees in English and French as an undergraduate. So Elizabeth was forced to decide, I've got to get a job. Where? And she knew that her father, in fact, initially she was going to sell World Book with her mother. World Book Encyclopedia, in the days when there was no such thing as online encyclopedias, when it was strictly the books that we've all seen at libraries and many of us used in our younger days. Well, Phoebe and her mother didn't make a go of it. But her father decided he would see if he could get a free set of books if you sold a certain number of sets of encyclopedias in a certain length of time. You got a free one, a free set for yourself. Well, her father, Charles, decided he was going to see if he couldn't get that free set for Phoebe, and he turned out to be an excellent salesman. But in the World Book, Phoebe decided she'd look and see where there were some good jobs. There wasn't a great deal in her home in Pennsylvania, very rural area, and most teachers held on to their jobs for years and years. There weren't many openings. That's how she came to Prince George's County, Maryland, in suburban Washington, D.C., and stayed there for a number of years until illness forced her to resign. Well, what about me? I was growing up in Massachusetts. Some of you might detect that Boston accent that creeps through just a little bit every now and then. Well, I came to Maryland after attending college in Salem, Massachusetts, and went to College Park, also suburban in Washington. And for a number of years, I boarded with the family. But the wife of the family became ill, and they could no longer take in roomers. And so I had to find an apartment house of my own. Well, in the meantime, Elizabeth had moved into this same apartment house, and I moved in there. The interesting thing is I almost didn't move there because I really liked a different apartment. But the person in charge of allotting, I think it's called the resident manager, she was away that morning when I happened to be there, and she wasn't going to be back for 3 hours. So I said, well, I will try that other apartment that I applied to, see if they've got any openings. Well, they did, and it turned out that the opening that I really liked and snatched up was only two doors down from Elizabeth. And the day I moved in, she passed me in the hall. It was kind of a small high-rise with a long hallway down the third floor where we both lived. And that very first day I lived there, I saw Elizabeth. She walked down the hall, gave a polite greeting. I gave a polite greeting. And that was all we thought about it. We didn't think of anything like future together. But as time went on, we got to know each other better. And I must say that I didn't make a good impression the first time she saw me because I was sweating. It was a late July in a typical Maryland hot, humid summer. I was moving some books in. My glasses were slipping down my nose. And she said afterwards she thought I looked like a real nerd. But, you know, first appearances can be deceiving. We got to know each other. She would sometimes talk to me in the lobby on the main floor of the apartment house. And she would sometimes complain about these lousy boyfriends she had. And yet, we didn't really date quite that early. But we found out we had a lot of things in common. We both were Christians. We both loved music. We both enjoyed literature. And one thing led to another until finally we started dating. Now, Elizabeth had a house built. She made a little money on a reading series that she had published. Her mother loaned her a little bit of money, too, and her father. And she bought the house and had it put up where we now live, or now I live. So we moved to the eastern shore of Maryland, across Chesapeake Bay from Washington and Baltimore, in the summer of 1983. And we got married. Now, at first things were, as you might suspect, a little bit, well, let's just say they took some getting used to. We were not young people at that time. I was approaching 40, she was just over 40. And when you're that old, even though it's not exactly old, you are set in your ways. You have certain ways you like to do things, and it takes some compromise when you get together with somebody else. But we adapted, we cooperated, and over the years, we became closer and closer. So, how did our radio work begin? Now, that's an interesting point, too. Phoebe was always a good public speaker. I wasn't that great, but she was. And she won several contests as a young person in her native Pennsylvania. I think one was it would be like a Problems of Democracy course. I can't remember the exact title, but she won first prize in that for public speaking. So she enjoyed that kind of thing as a public speaker. And one day, we were driving along, and we saw a small radio tower for an AM radio station, not too many miles from where we live. And Phoebe said, let's pull over and find out if they want anybody on the air. And I thought, well, I don't know about this, but I did as she said. And for a year or two, we just had a little program, half an hour program. We would tape record our spiel, I guess you'd call it, on cassette tapes, take them up to this radio station, and they broadcast them. But it was a small station, didn't go very far, perhaps 30 miles at most. Then we got on networks, and I can't remember exactly how that happened. We got on first one network, but we weren't too pleased with a lot of their shows. Then we got another network, but we didn't have a big listenership, and eventually we dropped from that. Then we got together with Todd Waite and his wife Dawn and WWCR, and here we are today, all these years later. I think it's probably been more than 10 years now. Now, I want to thank all of you. Many of you have supported us during this time of illness. Phoebe went into the hospital, I believe it was January 30th, with just general weakness. She just couldn't get up off the chair. And I knew I had to have something done. We found out there were a lot of things wrong that we had no idea about. Phoebe was not one to go to the doctor. And so there were things that were happening inside her body that we knew nothing about. And although things seemed to be improving, I knew she was going to face some very serious issues along the way. I think God was merciful. Just 2 weeks ago, as I record this program, they were changing her bedclothes, and she just said, "I can't breathe," and slumped over, and that was the end. I think she went into massive heart failure is probably what it was. But I thank all the listeners who have extended their well wishes to us. And if you weren't aware of her passing, I want to say that I think God was merciful to allow her not to have to go through some terrible ordeal. She probably had cancer because there were several masses that showed up in her CAT scan in her abdomen. She had a kidney that was partially blocked by a large kidney stone. And she had other problems that we, as I said, knew nothing about. If you want to see her obituary and you have the ability to go to the Internet, I think it is still on the funeral home's website, which is geiselfuneral.com. And you spell that G-E-I-S-E-L funeral.com. And just look for the obituaries. And if they haven't taken it down yet, it's only been 6 days since her funeral, and she was laid to rest only about a mile from the house where she grew up. So it's a beautiful setting up in the rolling hills of Pennsylvania. Now, my plan is to try to keep the show going. It may have to go to one day a week come April. And some of you may realize that for the last 2 months or so, we have had to kind of improvise. I was able to do live shows, but Elizabeth was not. So what we did is we kind of pasted together with Todd Waite's help, and he did a wonderful job. We pasted together up-to-date shows, except for the last couple of weeks, of course, since her death. But we pasted together those shows that had live, as nearly live as we can make it, previous quarter, but nevertheless current event shows, together with some highlights from old shows that we thought were especially good. So my future plans are, from this point on, beginning today, we'll have all new content. Now, if you want to get in touch with us to say it's a great job, or a lousy job we're doing, or I'm doing from this point on, first of all, you can go to our website. It's DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com. You can listen to old shows, see some of our essays, which I hope to bring more up to date in the near future, and see what we look like and just have a feel for what we're doing. And you can write to us. And if you can send some donations, that would be great. But you don't have to. You can just tell us what you think of the show. Our address is Lou, L-O-U, Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, just like the town where Jesus was born, Bethlehem, Maryland, and the zip code is 21609. So again, Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we still have a few copies of our book, COVID and Coming Chaos. Have a few more copies of those. They're available free. If you can help us out with the postage, that would be great. If you can't, don't worry about it. Just write to us and say, "I'd like a copy of your book." And we'll send it out. I think there may be at least one person that I may have lost your letter in all the confusion. I think the person made a donation and asked for a book, but I can't seem to locate that one. There was one that I did locate, and I'm sending that out tomorrow. Another one, if you were that person, just write to me, and I will see to it you get that book as soon as possible. And anybody else who would like one, just write and say so. All right, now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of the show. First of all, some headlines, and then we'll get to some longer articles. These are courtesy of Brother Bruce and American Prophecy. And the first one is from the People's Voice.tv. The headline, "Here we go again. New coronavirus with, quote, pandemic potential," unquote, spreads across China. This was dated February 21st, 2025, by Sean L. Tabatabai. Hope I'm saying his name right. And it reads, scientists have discovered another coronavirus in China that they believe is powerful enough to become, quote, the next pandemic, unquote. Researchers at the infamous Wuhan Institute of Virology claim they have detected a deadly new strain living within bats that could spread like wildfire around the world. DailyMail.co.uk reports HKU5-COV-2, and I'll just interject that I think that must be the scientific designation of the virus, that is strikingly similar to the pandemic virus, sparking fears that history could repeat itself just 2 years after the worst was declared over. The new virus is even closer related to MERS, M-E-R-S, a deadlier type of coronavirus that kills up to a third of people it infects. Virologist Shi Zhengli, known as the Batwoman for her work on coronaviruses, led the discovery, published in a top scientific journal. So once again, they seem to be saying, oh, it's just the bats. It's not that anything leaked out of the lab. It's just those animals that were the source. Well, do you believe that? I don't think I do. And in another related article, this time from the People's Voice.tv by Baxter Dimitri, Pfizer insider blows whistle. VADES, not AIDS, but VADES with a V, was programmed to kill billions in 2025. Disappeared February 24th. And it says, for years they mocked and denied it. They told you VADES wasn't real, that it was all in your head. But the truth can't stay buried forever. Now the dam is breaking and the COVID cabal are in panic mode. And another related article, mystery disease that kills within 48 hours of symptoms sweeps through the Congo. Over 53 dead, hundreds infected. This was from thehealthsite.com. A mystery illness in northwestern Congo in Africa has killed over 50 people, with symptoms leading to death within 48 hours. The World Health Organization, WHO, is investigating as initial tests ruled out Ebola and Marburg, with some cases testing positive for malaria. And another COVID article, could vaccines, and I should mention this, whenever I say the word vaccines, almost without exception here, the articles have it in quotation marks, because, of course, these were not the traditional vaccines, these MRI, they were what they called vaccines after they changed the definition of vaccine. Vaccine, as you and I would have always thought of it, would prevent a disease. If I got vaccinated for measles, polio, I did not expect to get those. But I could just tell you time after time after time, people I know have said, oh, I got vaccinated for COVID, but I got it anyway. And you'll hear about that over and over again. So when I say vaccines, I won't bother to keep saying, quote, vaccines, but you know that that's the way it is. So again, the title says, COVID vaccines cause catastrophic neurological and psychiatric damage. This is by Frank Bergman, February 24th of this year, in SlayNews.com. And it reads, a leading epidemiologist has issued a warning to the public after uncovering alarming new evidence proving that COVID mRNA vaccines cause, quote, catastrophic neurological and psychiatric damage, unquote. The red alert was declared by Nicholas Halscher, MPH, an epidemiologist and administrator at the McCullough Foundation. Halscher warns that the COVID mRNA injections are contributing to record high depression rates. He notes that depression and other neurological and psychiatric illnesses have skyrocketed since the vaccines were rolled out for public use in early 2021. According to Hauser, mRNA shots have triggered surges in ischemic stroke, hemorrhagic stroke, transient ischemic attack, myelitis, myasthenia gravis, Alzheimer's, cognitive impairment, depression, anxiety, and sleep disorders. And something else about the COVID era, you might call it. Australia records unprecedented death surge among COVID vaccinated. This was also by Frank Bergman from Slate News. Alarming officials, and the date, by the way, was February 16th, 2025. Alarming official government data has exposed a devastating surge in excess deaths among Australian citizens who received the COVID mRNA vaccines. The data has revealed that Australia suffered a historic surge of all-cause excess mortality among the nation's COVID-vaccinated population. Australia has one of the highest COVID vaccine uptake rates in the world. A major new study has found that Australia recorded skyrocketing excess deaths after the COVID mRNA vaccines were rolled out in early 2021. A team of medical and population health researchers at the University of Nicosia Medical School in Nicosia, Cyprus, conducted this study. And one more COVID thing before we move to a different topic. COVID jabs could soon be banned for everyone in the U.S. This is February the 19th by Neam Harris at thepeoplesvoice.tv. And we just have a short sentence or two here. The so-called COVID vaccines may soon be suspended for all age groups in the U.S. under radical new plans backed by key health officials in the Trump administration. And in the picture that goes with this, it shows Robert F. Kennedy Jr. speaking into the microphone. So I'm sure he is a part of this move. Well, now we're going to switch topics and get to some other articles. Many of you may remember Elizabeth talking about a book she wrote. She wrote it, I typed it. And actually, it was two books. One was called America Attacked, and the other one, now, I'm putting myself in the spot. Let me see. They were both had the main title, Patriot's Warning. And the second one, I think, was Chaos and Chemtrails. Yes, I'm getting it mixed up with a later book, a more recent book, which is COVID and Coming Chaos. Now, the second of those two books, drawing a blank again, Chaos and Chemtrails, that second part of the title, Chemtrails, is a word that Elizabeth and I had never even come across until somewhere a year or two before we wrote, or she wrote, the book. And we've looked up in the sky and sometimes seen these trails and thought, they're just jet planes. That's all they are. Because I had seen some trails somewhat like them as a boy, although not nearly as many. And the idea that there's something nefarious going on popped up in one of the strangest places. And that's, as Elizabeth has said a few times, when I was a boy, I was interested in UFOs. That's kind of waned because I haven't heard as much about them in late years. But it was a curiosity. And I got several paperback books about them, read them through. Well, I saw a magazine in a local bookstore that had to do with UFOs. And I said, well, I guess they're still talking about them. I think I'll see what they're saying. So I bought the magazine. But I was teaching full-time, and ironically, the one who read the magazine was Phoebe Elizabeth. And one article stood out in particular. Some of it was pretty fanciful stuff, and you didn't know what to believe. But this one article really caught her attention, and she showed it to me, caught my attention too. And I believe it was by Will Thomas, noted investigator of this topic, and it had to do with the so-called chemtrails. And of course, that's a play on the word contrails. The contrails are the natural byproduct of a jet engine where the cold, I should say, the hot vapors coming out of the back of the jet meet the cold air in the upper atmosphere, and the water vapor condenses to form a white trail of water vapor. Those are the natural, or at least not nefarious, you might say, contrails, condensation trails, in other words. But then there are these chemtrails, which a great deal of researchers have come to see as something far from natural. One way that Will Thomas, I remember, said you could tell them apart was a natural contrail coming out of the back of a jet will not appear at once. There'll be a little space because the vapors simply can't cool that fast. So there'll be a little space behind the airplane and before you see the white contrail. Those are the natural ones. But if it's spraying some kind of vapors with particles, certain gases, things that are not natural, you probably won't see any gap between the plane and the trail because it doesn't have to condense. It's already in the state at which it's going to be coming out, spewing out of the back of the plane. So now, I haven't heard too much about these chemtrails. And getting back to how we got into this, we also saw a reference, I think in the very same article, to a man by the name of L. Cuppert, Alexander Cuppert. And that really caught Phoebe's eye. I think actually I found that when I went on the internet and just typed in the word chemtrails to see what would pop up. Well, L. Cuppert had written a letter to, I think it was General John Jumper, I believe for the Air Force. Oh, he was in the Air Force. Now, L had been an action officer for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So L was a very knowledgeable guy, also a devout Christian man. And the reason L Cuppert really caught her eye was because my wife's maiden name, Elizabeth, was Cuppert. And she thought, well, this must be some distant relative. And we found out later it was. If you go back far enough, many generations, you can find they had a common ancestor in the early days of this country, or maybe even in colonial times. And so one thing led to another, and we investigated a great deal more. And eventually, Elizabeth wrote the two books, one mainly emphasizing the September 11th events, the great tragedy then, and the other one more or less emphasizing this whole idea of chemtrails. And there was a vast amount of literature, enough to get a whole book. Sadly enough, those books are pretty well gone. There was a fire, and some of them were destroyed. They were not particularly well put together, I have to say that. The new book we got just a little more than a year ago on COVID and coming chaos was much better physically put together. And I think we have a few of the old ones left, but I have yet to find out where we put them. And just when we were going to try and find them, Elizabeth became ill, and everything else had to be dropped. But I'll, over the next few weeks, I'll try and locate those again. And if anybody is interested, I'll see what I can do to get at least a few up. But there, frankly, may not be many sets left. Might be only 8 or 10 sets left. But if you're interested, write me, and I'll see what I can do. Now, getting down to some of the main articles, the reason I brought up this whole bunch of chemtrails is because in the People's Voice on February 26th, just a few days back, Baxter Dimitri had an article entitled, Trump orders FBI to investigate Bill Gates for, quote, blitzing America with toxic chemtrails, unquote. And Baxter Dimitri says, you've seen them, those eerie geometric streaks across the sky. Unnaturally precise, a phenomenon dismissed by the mainstream media in their relentless gaslighting of humanity. Key members of the Trump administration have seen them too. They've been briefed by high-level investigators who spent years uncovering the truth. And now they're ready to act. Their target? The elite masterminds behind the mass spraying of chemtrails. Aluminum, barium, toxins. Poisoning our air, manipulating the weather, and tightening their grip on global control. But the real war isn't against the nameless operatives carrying out these crimes. It's against the untouchable overlords who believe they're beyond consequence. That illusion is crumbling. The people are waking up. The fury is boiling over, and the calls for justice are deafening. Nuremberg 2.0 is coming. The trials will be swift. The verdicts inevitable. Those responsible will answer for their crimes against humanity. The only question now is, who will be the first to fall? The sun is different these days, isn't it? Once a blazing orange giant, it's now this pale, shrunken thing, like it's shrinking for the world. Clouds, too. They used to bloom into wild organic shapes, towering cumulonimbus, wispy cirrus. Now they're flattened, streaked, geometric, like someone's painting prison bars across the heavens. The elites thought they could pull off this crime scot-free, dumping toxins on us from above, while we took it lying down. They figured we'd never hold them to account. Well, they were dead wrong. And now it's time to prove it. We need you to step up, grab your phones, your cameras, and start snapping photos and videos of those suspicious trails streaking across the sky. Share them with us. And again, this is Baxter Dimitri from the People's Voice. TV talking. Share them with us, every shot, every clip, because this isn't just evidence, it's ammunition. The more we document, the louder our voice gets, and the harder it is for these high and mighty crooks to dodge accountability. You're not just watching history. You're building the momentum to hold them to the fire. Because when was the last time you saw a commercial plane just hanging out in one spot, crisscrossing the sky in a grid-like pattern? It doesn't happen. These aren't your typical contrails fading away. No, this is orchestrated and organized. Chemical trails loaded with toxic heavy metals and chemicals raining down on us from above. People have noticed this for years. Brave voices, scientists, farmers, everyday folks, even pop stars have been screaming about it as the media brands them tinfoil hat lunatics. Prince, and this is talking about the performer, the singer, Prince was pilloried for daring to speak out about the agenda that he could see with his own two eyes. He was found dead in suspicious circumstances a few years later, defiant to the end. But lately, the dam's breaking. Aviation insiders, pilots, air traffic controllers, mechanics, they're stepping forward, risking everything to talk. What they're saying ties into a paper trail that's starting to leak out. Now it's coming to the top. Picture this. High-altitude planes, unmarked, weaving over cities like Chicago, Atlanta, Boise. Not your average passenger jets. These are retrofitted beasts loaded with tanks of something. Chemicals? Biocides? Aerosolized vaccines? The pilots we've spoken to say the orders come from above, way above. Think shadowy NGOs, billionaire tycoons, global firms where the air's thin and the morals thinner. Names like Gates and Soros keep popping up, funneling cash into, quote, solar geoengineering, unquote, projects, spraying aerosols to dim the sun, they claim, to fight climate change. It all sounds noble, doesn't it? That is, until you talk to the farmers. They're seeing aluminum levels confirmed by lab tests as a major player in these chemtrails skyrocketing, and it's hitting their crops hard. Plants are stunted, yellowing, dying off in strange ways, like the life's being squeezed right out of them. And it's not just theory. Take Dubai, year 2024. freak floods downed or drowned streets after aggressive cloud seeding ops went public. The media had to admit it. Governments do mess with the skies. Of course, social media influencers were bought in to lull the masses back to sleep. But what about the stuff they won't admit? A whistleblower from Spain dropped a bombshell. In 2020, under COVID lockdown chaos, their military sprayed chemtrails, lethal ones, over citizens. Authorized by a royal decree, no less. The UN signed off. The goal? Not clear. But the words depopulation and social control keep surfacing, and they are hard to shake. So, who's flying these planes? Some pilots know exactly what's in those tanks. Metals like aluminum, barium, even biological agents. Others, they're just following orders, told us routine and classified. One ex-Air Force employee I talked to said she quit after seeing lab reports on the payloads. Quote, "It's not about cooling the planet," she told me. "It's about control." Here's where it gets wild. The logistics are a black box. Military and civilian sectors overlap in this web. Contractors, shell companies, encrypted comms. The public's locked up, but the cracks are showing. Newly confirmed Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made a bold promise during the election campaign when he vowed to put an end to what he calls the crime of chemtrails. It's worth digging into where he's getting his information. One standout source is Geoengineering Watch and Dane Wigington, who's been on the front lines, documenting these alleged crimes up close for decades. And this is a little, let me repeat that again. It's Geoengineering Watch, and the guy who's compiling all this information is Dane Wigington. And I believe it's misspelled here. I think it's spelled W-I-G-G-I-N-G-T-O-N. In the first part of it, they only have a single G, but I think it's a double G. Anyway, you could try both. It's easy to find. I've found his very good website myself. And getting back to the article, finally, the world has started to listen. Here is Dane on Australian mainstream TV, red-pilling millions about chemtrails. And that may be a video you can watch. I'm not quite sure if you go to this website. Again, this is from thepeoplesvoice.tv. And back to the article. When the chemtrails, when the chemtrails trials begin, globalist trader John Brennan should be first against the wall. During an appearance at the Council of Foreign Relations, he spelled out the plan to spray civilians with toxic chemicals under the guise of modifying the weather. The elite operate without shame. But that reckoning is coming. We have the evidence. We have the truth. And justice is inevitable. This was the moment history turned. Future Health Secretary and, as of now, present Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was red-pilled by Dane Wigington on the Children's Health Defense podcast. A conversation so powerful, it set the world on a path from which there is no return. Interesting article, and it ties in so well with Elizabeth's book of some years ago. Now we move on to Slay News, and a little different topic. Democrat Gov fundraisers off getting humiliated by Trump over transgender sports in Maine. And this is by Frank Bergman, again from Slay News, February the 26th of this year. Maine's Democrat Governor Janet Mills is fundraising off the back of a recent headline-grabbing moment when she was humiliated by President Donald Trump for defying his executive order on transgender sports. Maine has defied Trump's order to ban male athletes from competing in girls' and women's sports. During a meeting with governors at the White House last week, Trump singled out Mills during a press conference and blasted her for failing to comply with the demand. In a career-sinking moment for Mills, Trump scanned the room looking for the Maine governor and called her out for defying his policy, as Slate News reported. Quote, "Are you not going to comply with that?" Trump asked Mills. And she responded, "I'm complying with state and federal laws." And Trump asserted, "Well, we are the federal law. And you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you aren't getting any federal funding," Trump continued. "We'll see you in court," Mills responded. "Good. I'll see you in court," Trump said. "I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be elected. You'll be in elected politics," Trump concluded. A Maine state representative confirmed that following the verbal skirmish on Friday, Mills began sending out mass fundraising texts to Maine residents. The texts cited her vile altercation with Trump, which played out on national TV. And the Mills campaign text said, quote, "On Friday at a bipartisan meeting of governors, Donald Trump threatened to deny Maine school children federal funding unless we fall in line with his personal demands. He even stated that he was the law, never mind Congress or the states. I told him we'd see him in court." Mills went on to claim that Trump is now using his new power to, quote, "punish his enemies," unquote, after he campaigned on lowering prices for everyday Americans. The campaign, that is the Mills campaign, said, quote, "I want to make one thing clear. Maine will not be intimidated by the president's threats. The work to push back against Trump and his agenda begins at the state level. Can you donate $10 to the Maine Democrat Party to make sure they have the resources to fight for our state?" Unquote. The same week, Trump threatened to withhold funding from Maine for not complying with his executive order on women's sports. A male claiming to be transgender won, and that's in quotes, won first place in the women's pole vault at Maine's Class B State Indoor Championship. The athlete competed unsuccessfully as a man until June last year before he switched to the women's team. Maine's primary governing body for high school athletics, the Maine Principals Association, confirmed that it did not intend to follow Trump's executive order after it came out. Rather, the association said they would defer to state law that makes it illegal to determine someone's athletic eligibility on the basis of their gender identity. Well, that gives you an idea of what's going on up in Maine. I used to think Maine was a great state. Not so sure anymore. Spent many happy vacation trips as a young boy with my parents up in Maine. Well, now we move on to another thing about the vaccinations. From the People's Voice, February the 26th, once again by Baxter Dimitri, the headline reads, "Fully vaccinated Hollywood star Michelle Trachtenberg dies suddenly of cardiac arrest at age 39. Fully vaccinated Hollywood actress Michelle Trachtenberg has died suddenly after suffering cardiac arrest at just 39 years old, joining a long list of vaccinated young people suffering the same fate. And I'll interject, we have a lot of examples of that, and there are many more since we wrote the book, but our book has a lot of examples of that, our book, COVID and Coming Chaos. And again, if you want to get a copy of that, we'd be delighted to send you one. If we get enough requests, I'll even order more books from the publisher so we can send more out. And if you'd like a copy of that, all you have to do is just write to me, say, please send me your book, and write to Lou, L-O-U, Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, and the address is Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, and the zip code is 21609. If you can put a little cash in to help with the cost of the mailing, that would be great. But if you can't, that's okay, too. We'll get that out. And if you can contribute to a radio program, we have no commercials. We try our best to pay for it with the help of those listening to the program, all of you out there. So if you can put a little money or a little bit of a check or money order in an envelope, mail it to us, we'd be very grateful. If you can't do that, if you can just send us some nice, hopefully nice letters just saying what you think of the program, what you like about it, what you think it needs that it doesn't have, any kind of criticism, we'll welcome that. So if you can just write to us, again, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. So this unfortunate actress died suddenly. Another one of those on and on and on, as we caught it in our book. It reads, fully vaccinated Hollywood actress Michelle Trachtenberg has died suddenly after suffering cardiac arrest at just 39 years old, joining a long list of vaccinated young people suffering the same fate. Authorities insist there's nothing to see here, even declaring the death to be the result of, quote, natural causes, unquote. But the sudden death of a seemingly healthy young actress has left the public demanding the truth. Known for her roles in the 1996 film Harriet the Spy and the television show Gossip Girl, Trachtenberg was found dead in her New York City apartment by her mother. Trachtenberg was a vocal advocate for the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, frequently using social media to urge everyone to get vaccinated and boosted. She also strongly pushed for mask mandates, insisting it was the responsibility of all to comply. TMZ reported that, quote, police and paramedics responded to a call for a woman in cardiac arrest, unquote. Law enforcement officials confirmed to the New York Post that Trachtenberg was, quote, unconscious and unresponsive, unquote, when police found her, and was later pronounced dead by EMS workers. While law enforcement officials told the outlet that Trachtenberg was, quote, believed to have died from natural causes, unquote, they noted that she had recently received a liver transplant and, quote, may have been experiencing complications, unquote. Trachtenberg played Sarah Michelle Gellar's kid sister on Buffy. I believe the name, whole name of the show is Buffy. Well, I'm not sure. Anyway, Trachtenberg is the latest in a long line of celebrities to die suddenly after promoting the COVID vaccine on behalf of governments and Big Pharma during the pandemic. Many independent publishers have reported on the dozens of healthy individuals, including professional athletes, suddenly dropping dead since the vaccine rollout. And that pretty much covers the main topics there. And here we have a testimony by someone who is involved with this whole thing, someone famous. From the People's Voice, we have the headline, Megyn Kelly reveals she's dying of VADs. Not AIDS, but VADs with a V. Baffled doctors can't help me, she says. This was February the 26th, 2025, by Sean Adel-Dabatabai. And the subheadline says, Megyn Kelly has revealed that she is dying of vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or VADs, an incurable disease caused by the mRNA COVID jabs. On the latest episode of her podcast, Kelly said that, quote, baffled doctors, unquote, are unable to help with her condition, which she says is gradually worsening over time as her immune system slowly destroys itself. The slow decline in immunity following vaccination is caused by, quote, altered cytokine responses, unquote. Cytokines are small proteins that are produced by our immune system in response to infection. The more jabs a person receives, the more depleted the immune system becomes, resulting in VAIDS. DailyMail.co.uk reports, she told Dr. Asim Malhotra, a cardiologist with ties to RFK Jr., that doctors were unable to determine which specific disorder she has, but they said it could be linked to the vaccine. The 54-year-old told an audibly shocked Dr. Malhotra, quote, "I asked the rheumatologist if it could be linked to the Pfizer vaccine and booster, and she said yes. And you're not the only patient I have who's had this sequence of events." And Kelly went on, "I wish I hadn't done it that has gotten vaccinated, but I did." Ms. Kelly also revealed that thinking the COVID vaccine was safe was the number one thing, this is in quotes, "the number one thing I've been wrong about," unquote. The CDC still recommends the vaccines for children and adults, saying that the protection against COVID still outweighs the tiny risk of side effects. It comes after a bombshell Yale University study found mRNA COVID vaccines are linked to a previously unknown condition called post-vaccination syndrome, or PVS for short. The small study found patients with the PVS showed distinct biological changes to their immune system. But the Yale experts told DailyMail.com that the results are, quote, "still a work in progress," unquote, and it's clear how common PVS is. Experts estimate the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines have saved millions of lives globally, including 3 million in the U.S. The risk of severe side effects is estimated to be around 1 in 50,000. COVID is still killing about 300 Americans every week, CDC data shows. And I'll just interject there. How do they have these figures? How do they know that these vaccines save those lives? When you think back, well, none of us can remember this far back, but in 1918, there was the biggest epidemic up to that time in modern history with the so-called Spanish flu. Now, there was no vaccine for that Spanish flu. There was no known treatment. But within a year or two, it disappeared from the face of the earth, or nearly did. Nobody got Spanish flu in my lifetime. So how do they know that the vaccines are what's responsible for the decrease in COVID? After all, the Spanish flu didn't need a vaccine. It just disappeared on its own. Well, getting back to the article, the most common symptoms linked to the newly identified PVS are brain fog, dizziness, tinnitus, heart palpitations, and exercise intolerance, a feeling of exhaustion after the limited exercise. Dr. Malhotra sought medical help from gastroenterologist Dr. Sabine Hazen, whose research suggests COVID vaccines strip the body of the healthy bacterium, bifidobacterium. Perhaps it's bifidobacterium, is thought to boost immune cell production. Well, it goes on with some more technical aspects. If you're interested, once again, this article was from the People's Voice, dated February 26, 2025, and entitled, "Megyn Kelly Reveals She's Dying of VAIDS. Baffled Doctors Can't Help Me." So you can go to that, and they have a pretty good search engine, so you can search for past articles. Well, the time is getting toward the end. Let me just give you a couple other headlines here and just a few facts. Now, here from Fox News, ICE arrest of migrant sparks anger protest before violent gang ties exposed. Francisco Andrade Barrera was deported twice and has drug and gang convictions. And I may give more information about this next time, but the gist of it is all these folks were screaming bloody murder because ICE had picked up this man. But that was before they found out that he was a convict. And had gangland connections. Another headline from Slate News, U.S. government advised to force restrictions. I should say U.K. government, United Kingdom government, advised to force restrictions on meat consumption and car ownership onto the public. That was by Frank Bergman. Just read the first paragraph, the U.K.'s official Net Zero Advisory Board. How about that for a name? Net Zero Advisory Body has advised the British government to force restrictions onto the public to limit meat consumption, private car ownership, air travel, and other freedoms that allegedly contribute to, you guessed it, climate change. The Climate Change Committee has advised the United Kingdom government's leadership that it must impose radical lifestyle changes on the general population in order to comply with the World Economic Forum, WEF's, net zero goals. There it is, the World Economic Forum, sticking its nose in everybody's business again. And another little headline, and again, we'll get to some of these perhaps in more detail at a later time. From the People's Voice, Trudeau government. Here we have Canada exposed using Indigenous children for secret experimental vaccine trials. And was this a century ago? No, this was just a few years ago. And the first paragraph says, for 3 years, Canadian officials embedded in the Trudeau regime secretly injected Inuit children with an experimental RSV, see if I can pronounce this, Pelabizumab vaccine, without parental consent and without informing the Inuit community. So this kind of thing is still going on up there in Canada and probably in the U.S. for all we know. Well, those are some of the things we wanted to bring you to your attention today. Write to us if you can. Lou Cavalli, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And tune in again next week. Thanks for listening. Good night.